Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
I see all the real Americans. I think about how Donald Trump, his family was compromised. When I look out there and I see Donald Trump, I think about how his business was compromised. But what happened last week when they took a shot at my hero?
Amazing.
And they tried to kill the next President of the United States. Enough was enough. And I said, let Trumpomania run wild, brother. Let Trumpomania rule again. Let Trumpomania make America great again.
We actually thought that he wasn't going to be involved because we thought we had got past him in the schedule of speakers. So when Hulk Hogan gets up on stage and there was a delay and they were playing music for like five songs and we thought, oh, we're not going to see Hulk Hogan. And he gets up there and he just, man, the crowd ate it up, loved it, including, you know, they're chanting USA, they're doing all this stuff. He actually made a point of saying that, look, you get this is a show, right? Like, I'm an entertainer. You know, this is not my real name is not Hulk. And yeah. Yet, that's why I had to do
something, Trumpites.
Trumpites.
I didn't come here as Hulk Hogan, but I just had to give you a little taste. You know, my name is Terry Bollea. And as an entertainer, I love you too.
Terry?
And as an entertainer, I tried to stay out of politics. But after everything that's happened to our country over the past 4 years, and everything that happened last weekend, I can no longer stay silent.
I mean, I love that moment where he's like, look, this is all fake. Don't you get it? But this is real because I couldn't just stay out of politics. I don't normally get involved in politics. I got to say something here. I got to do this. I've got to be here for this. And, you know, it was just another example of people kind of coming out of their comfort zone. You had Dana White, who wasn't going to be able to be there at all. And his wife basically says, you know, Trump asked you to do something. You should just do it. You should just be there for him. I can't be super supportive of the Kid Rock decision. It happened. I'll just put it that way. What's that? I know. I know we got. If Mitt Romney can have Kid Rock, then Trump can have Kid Rock.
Yeah. I mean, he actually fits better with Trump than he does with Mitt Romney.
Yeah.
And he would be at like all these Mitt Romney events and stuff. So
there was, and I just being honest here, there was a part of me that was thinking this whole time like UFC, Hulk Hogan, Kid Rock. I've seen Idiocracy. You know, that there was a part of me that felt like this is a political convention. But you know what? I think this is kind of the smarts of, President Trump. But, you know, the RNC being smart, too, is it's an event. It's a production. It's a presentation. It is absolutely a pep rally. And as much as they dealt with significant, serious, difficult stuff, it's also fun. And part of the message, I think, was not just that Trump is a person and not just that we have a lot of what you'd think of as non-traditional Republicans who are supporting him. But, hey, you know, come along with us. It's going to be good. And not just that you're going to make more money and keep more of your money and we're going to take care of you better, but also and give you more freedom. But also, it's fun. It's fun to be a Republican. Republicans are not boring. And, you know, that maybe is a message that we do need to mention more than just one time. 437-1620, 437-1620. I'm Andrew McKay here with Bobby Rossi in the hotel in Milwaukee on our final day. What I would say in a very loving way is I hope it's our final day in Milwaukee. Yeah, with all of the exactly. Flight troubles. Not because I got to get out of Milwaukee, because I miss my wife and my kids and being back in Pensacola. The broadcast today is brought to you in part by DeFranco Gas. We super appreciate all the sponsors making it possible to do this here. John Pickens is back in Pensacola with traffic on the fives.
No accidents to let you know about right now, but it is raining heavily all throughout the area, so do be careful. Seeing some delays if you're traveling northbound on Scenic Highway, trying to get onto Highway 90 to go to Pace, you're seeing some delays with that. Traffic's looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. So back to we didn't do a lot with Trump this hour just yet, and I wanted to hear, you know, some of what he said was really – it was – you know, Biden's calling on a tone down of the rhetoric, right? And I wondered, where would Trump be? Definitely toned down in tone itself, a much more somber presentation, not at the top of his game, you know, rhetorically. And I mean, who could be after just a few days after getting shot at and hit and watching somebody die behind you? And he did a moment of silence, and it was a really touching thing because he went over and actually they had the fireman's jacket from the fireman on stage with his helmet.
I forgot about that moment.
And he did a moment of silence for him and talked about him and went over and kissed that as the helmet, like symbolically, like, you know, I'm alive and you're dead and why? And, you know, I mean, I still cannot believe that he kind of held it together through all of the things that he did in talking about that terrible incident. But then, you know, he addressed the issue of tone a little bit, because he said, you know, you guys are doing this against me.
And we must not criminalize dissent or demonize political disagreement, which is what's been happening in our country lately at a level that nobody has ever seen before. In that spirit, the Democrat Party should immediately stop weaponizing the justice system and labeling their political opponent as an enemy of democracy.
As in, hey, you know, why don't you also tone it down and stop saying that I'm an enemy of democracy?
Especially since that is not true. In fact, I am the one saving democracy for the people of our country.
You know, it was a really interesting argument that was made by Eric Trump when he was talking earlier, because he had basically made the case that, you know, it was Tucker Carlson. That's right. It was Tucker Carlson who was making the case that democracy is representing the people and listening to them and being concerned about them, and that, you know, the people own the country. And if the leaders aren't listening to them and doing what they want, then the leaders aren't doing their jobs, and that Trump listens to the people.
Entire point from the famous escalator ride 9 years ago until today of Donald Trump's public life has been to remind us of one fact, which is a leader's duty is to his people, to his country, and to no other. That's the point. That's the only point. And another word for this is democracy. Democracy, in case you're a little sick of being beaten in the face with democracy on television, actual democracy is the proposition that the citizens of a country own that country. They're not renters, they're not serfs, they're not slaves, they are the owners of the country. And for that to be true, their leaders have to represent them, which is another way of saying they have to do what the people want them to do.
You know, everybody's got their own view of what should be done by your political leaders. Me too, of course. And everybody feels like their view is the one that ought to be represented the most. But what he's saying is that, you know, if you genuinely believe in the idea of democracy, if you genuinely believe in a representative republic, then when somebody represents the people's view, even if it's not your view, even if it seems an obnoxious deviation from your view, that's what it's supposed to be. Now, within limits, within boundaries, under the Constitution, of course. But he's saying, you know, I heard him as talking to me a little bit. Because Trump, I've said many times, Trump drives me crazy. Trump's views don't align with my views. Trump is not a social conservative. Okay. But if Trump is building a party that is very different from the Republican Party of 4, 8, 12 years ago, and if he manages to pull off a victory or a big victory by shifting the party, and he has absolutely shifted the party, well, that's representative government. And if that's what people allow, and if that's what people want, then at some point you have to say, look, I can have my beliefs, but I'm not in the majority anymore. And if we're not in the majority, then who are we to say what should be done? I mean, that's what I heard him saying, and I thought that was a very fair comment. By the way, no script, no teleprompter except for a 10-minute countdown. There was nothing that Tucker Carlson did other than speak from the cuff. He was the only speaker, the only one in the entire convention that had, including Trump, who went off script a lot but still had a script to come back to. Tucker Carlson was no script.
And he did a great job.
And it was great. Yeah, he brought the house down. And the reception for him was amazing. I did want to go back for a second to President Trump, because we got to a moment with him that I thought it was very human. I think not only was he very troubled by, of course, the assassination attempt and troubled by the perception of it and worried about his own ability, frankly, to do this, because this is not easy. I mean, you know, when you're in a major event like that, it affects you, and it clearly affected him. But he was talking about the convention itself. I think he kind of revealed some of that self-doubt that you're just not used to hearing from him, because he hides it so well. If he does have it, he hides it so well, or he doesn't have it at all.
And by the way, the news reports, look at all of those big networks. Look at them. They're all here. But every one of them has said this could be the most organized, best run, and most enthusiastic convention of either party that they've ever seen, every single one. And it's true. It's true. And there's love in the room. There's great love in the room.
There's a lot of love in the room. But then came, like I said, this moment where I was not expecting this.
So I better finish strong, otherwise we'll blow it, and we can't let that happen. Now, this was great. All of the great people that spoke, and everybody hit a home run. I mean, there's not one that I can think of where I said, oh, gee, that wasn't great. Every single person. I refuse to be the only one. Don't do that to me. They're already getting ready. See, I gave him an idea.
I refuse to be the bad note at the end of the convention, which was, I mean, he's admitting it could have been, which it could have been, right? And it, in some ways, a little bit it was, if only because his tone was so different than the norm and he was clearly affected.
I would like to know, if you watched on TV or listened to it on the radio last night on News Radio Pensacola, did you get the same somber tone that Andrew and I had in the building?
That's a good question. Did it translate across? Because I know a lot of stuff does not.
All right.
And in the room, it was very clear that he was not the normal Donald Trump.
Yeah, and the whole audience, I mean, the whole feel in the arena was
subdued.
Subdued.
But it was, and whenever they had the chance to encourage him, they did. Whenever they had a chance to, like, wrap their arms around him with their voices, they did. It's kind of trying to help him get through this, I think, very difficult speech for him to deliver, quite frankly. But still, there were moments that gave me great hope, though, because there were moments, because what you're thinking about is somebody who's absolutely been traumatized. And what you want is, you want a glimmer of hope that he's going to come through the other side and be fine. Mm-hmm. And this, to me, was the best indication that he's already even on the path to kind of recovery and healing, and he's praising God, and he's thanking God, and he's trying to watch his language for Franklin Graham and all of that. But this was the moment that gave me the most hope.
We want people to come into our country, but they have to come into our country legally. Legally.
Obviously talking about immigration, key issue for him.
Less than 4 years ago, I handed this administration the strongest border in American history. But you can see on the chart that saved my life. That was the chart that saved my life. I said, look it, I'm so proud of it. I think it's one of the greatest. It was done by the Border Patrol. One of the greatest charts I've ever seen. It showed everything just like that. You know the chart. Oh, there it is. That's pretty good. Wow. Last time I put up that chart, I never really got to look at it.
That's an amazing joke.
But without that chart, I would not be here today.
Because, you know, that chart, he was looking at it, cocked his head to the side, turned
never
it.
Never got to look at it.
To say that, Oh, wow. I never really saw that chart before because that's.
Yeah, that realization. That's
a, that realization, yeah. Making it a quip at that moment, being able to joke about that.
I said, you got to see this chart. I was so proud of it. And by the time I got to there, I never got to see it that day. But I'm seeing it now, and I was very proud.
And he was cocking his head sideways. He was reenacting the moment.
Reenacting it, yep.
Which you got to also figure there was a part of him. It's like, this didn't go well the last time. I don't know if I want to do. I mean, there's all kinds of things that trauma can do to you. So mm-hmm. I was the most encouraged by that moment where he seemed to, like I said, and otherwise, and you guys are texting in that you agree that it was very somber. A lot of it was very monotone. It was not his normal dynamic speaking style. But that moment in particular gave me a lot of hope for that, you know, the old Donald Trump, the fighter, the joker, the sarcastic, you know, that hasn't gone.
Yeah.
You know, when you can joke about that, that's a good sign of health. 726 here on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Back in the studios in Pensacola, we've got John Pickens with Traffic on the Fives.
And I-10, I-110 flowing very smoothly right now. No issues with that. Seeing some delays if you're heading from Milton to East Milton, though, and that's about it. I'm John Pickens with your Traffic on the Fives.
Hey, if you need plumbing, air conditioning, heating, or
you're
electrical
clear.
Work done, Peden, they're the ones who will take care of you. They will do professional service, show up on time, tell you what's going on, give you a fair estimate of what the price is going to be, do the work, and then stand by it afterwards. Quality products, quality service, and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Of course, they've been around for forever, but they have recently been expanding quite a bit all the way east to Tallahassee, and then last year all the way west to Baldwin County, and then this year into Mobile County. So everywhere along the Gulf Coast in the Central Time Zone, Peden is there for you. And they just turned 55 this year, and so in honor of their 55th anniversary, they are offering a complete air conditioning inspection for $55, or I suppose you could do both. You can also get a $55 inspection on your tanked water heater, flush and plumbing inspection. Call today, remove the sediment buildup that's hurting how fast your water heats up. Find out more at Peden, P-E-A-D-E-N.com.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
What should you look for in a church? Allow me to give you three things. Look for a church that exalts the Savior, a church that equips the saints, and a church that evangelizes the sinner. And by exalt the Savior, I mean a church where Christ is not just prominent, but where he's preeminent in the singing and preaching. And by equip the saints, I'm describing a place where Christians are learning the Bible and are growing in their personal walk with God. By evangelizing the sinner, I'm describing a church where the congregation is together focused on giving the good news of the gospel to the community around them. Ladies and gentlemen, I urge you to get involved in a church with these three ingredients, and you'll find yourself in a healthy church.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
Be the one
who changed a kid's life. Learn about teens, siblings, and special needs children awaiting adoption.
Families First Network is the connection between children who wait in foster care and families who adopt.
As the trusted partner for adoptions in Northwest Florida, Families First Network connects adoptive families with training and support through the entire process.
Begin your journey by signing up for a free Zoom information session at familiesfirstnetwork.org.
That's familiesfirstnetwork.org.
On September 11th, 2001, an operations officer placed a call asking if a crew could be ready to fly. U.S. Naval Aviator Aaron Dimmock answered that call. Working largely in silence, Dimmock defended America. Now he's ready to answer the call yet again. Pro-Trump conservative Aaron Dimmock for Congress. Florida Patriots PAC, paid for and is responsible for the content of this advertising. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee. FloridaPatriotsPAC.com.
When you listen to News Radio 92.3 on Saturdays, you get The Garden Line Encore at 9. At Home with Gary Sullivan at 10. Swan Capital at 1. Let's Go Pensacola at 4.
Good morning, 7:30 here on News Radio Pensacola from Milwaukee. In fact, Bobby Rossi threw me a curveball. He put a Facebook Live of me doing the show up on the webpage, so you can, on our Facebook page, so you can actually
check out our Milwaukee studios.
You can see the high quality, the sweet studios, the Staybridge Suites that we're in. David Wayne is, I will not force him to give me a headline because I didn't give him any time to do it. David Wayne will have your local news coming up next after Fox. Looks like I'm wearing a lampshade in that thing, Bobby.
I'm Gian Gelosi. Former President Donald Trump getting a rock star's welcome at the RNC last night with a little hype up from Hulk Hogan.
Enough was enough. And I said, let Trumpomania run wild, brother. Let Trumpomania rule again. Let Trumpomania make America great again.
The former president recounting the assassination attempt that nearly took his life.
I heard a loud whizzing sound and felt something hit me. Really, really hard.
Mr. Trump and J.D. Vance will rally this weekend in Michigan, and a Russian court has sentenced Wall Street Journal reporter Evan Gerskovich to 16 years in prison. He is accused of being a spy. The U.S. government declared him wrongfully detained, and Microsoft says the underlying cause of today's global cyber outage has been fixed for some services. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 at News Radio Pensacola. This morning, it is still raining, not nearly as hard as it was here a few moments ago. We've got 78 degrees in Pensacola, and we have seen some flights delayed by this CrowdStrike software outage in Pensacola this morning. The FAA says at one point, all Delta, United, American, and Allegiant flights had been grounded because of this technical issue. A statement from American Airlines says they've been able to reestablish their operations. It's unclear how long some flights could continue to be grounded. Also affected by the software outage this morning, Channel 3, they were one of the many news outlets affected by this. And Channel 3 says their engineering team is working to get them back on the air. Now, all of this caused by an issue from Texas-based CrowdStrike. They say the issue is with the latest Microsoft update and not linked in any way to a cybersecurity attack. And as for the Pensacola airport right now, we are seeing just a couple of flight arrivals being delayed. There are a handful of flights that are showing departure delays. So if you're flying out today, you may just want to log on at flypensacola.com and check your flight status. Pensacola police say a 20-year-old man has been arrested in connection with a Thursday morning stabbing incident. Investigators say Mark Musser is facing four charges, including attempted homicide, battery, resisting arrest, and criminal mischief. Officers were called to a home on K Street. That's where they found a victim that had four stab wounds. Musser is described as a transient. He fled from police but was later located. He's now being held in the Escambia County Jail. Well, we're seeing some reaction from the family of Jeff Nichols, the man killed in a hit-and-run crash on Sorrento Road last year after the arrest of the woman investigators believe was driving that vehicle.
We are ready for justice to be served.
Yes.
Swiftly and to the fullest extent.
Even though this was an accident, there are consequences to every action.
And 41-year-old Jessica Hendrickson was arrested last week in Kentucky after a warrant for her arrest was issued. Investigators say Nichols was riding a bicycle on Sorrento Road when he was hit from behind by a vehicle driven by Hendrickson. She's now in custody in Kentucky and awaiting extradition back to Escambia County. Florida Senator Marco Rubio says J.D. Vance made a good first impression this week on voters.
This is a real guy. I mean, I'm telling you, this is a really smart guy, very curious, learns about a lot of things, but at the same time, is like a real person. You know, he's not... It's not fake. I mean, it's just real.
Rubio made those comments yesterday at the Republican National Convention in Milwaukee. Also, he made some comments about Vice President Kamala Harris, calling her a, quote, legitimate left-wing political person, and said if she were to be moved up the ticket, she would be the furthest left candidate for president ever. Of course, that comment amid rumors that Joe Biden could potentially step aside. It is 7:35 at News Radio Pensacola. John's got a look at our traffic on the fives. Brought to you by Pensacola Christian Academy, now enrolling 4 and 5 year olds for kindergarten. Register now, enrollpca.com, the area's premier kindergarten learning program. Still no accidents on the big board right now, but we're still seeing some delays. If you're on Nine Mile Road headed past like Hillcrest Church, heading in both the east and westbound directions, seeing some delay. I-10, I-110 flowing smoothly right now. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. Now our Channel 3 weather forecast.
We are going to be seeing some scattered showers and thunderstorms as we go through the morning and into the afternoon. 70% chance of rain overall. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 76. As we go into Saturday, 70% chance of rain, high near 90 degrees. Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 77. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
And right now, it is 78 degrees. We are seeing some rain across the area. 78 in Pensacola, 78 in Gulf Breeze, 78 in Milton. Your next news at 8 o'clock and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio Pensacola.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Stellantis is telling owners of more than 24,000 Chrysler Pacifica plug-in hybrid minivans to park them outdoors, away from buildings, and to stop charging them due to the possibility of battery fires. Some of the vehicles are being recalled for a second time, but all can still be driven. Stellantis said its investigation is ongoing, but the company has linked the problem to a rare abnormality in individual battery cells. Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg visited the Port of Long Beach to break ground on a $1.5 billion rail yard expansion project that will more than triple the volume of rail cargo the dock can handle annually. Dubbed America's Green Gateway, the project will streamline rail operations to reduce the environmental impact, traffic congestion, and air pollution caused by cargo trucks. Futures are mixed. Thursday, the Dow Industrials lost 533. The NASDAQ lost 125. That's your money now.
Don't let
when the open road or off-road calls, the 2024 Subaru Forester answers. Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. The impressive off-road capability of the Forester Wilderness starts with its dependable symmetrical all-wheel drive. It optimizes power distribution between the wheels to deliver maximum traction on challenging trails or in slippery weather conditions. Pair that with 9.2 inches of ground clearance and standard Yokohama Geolander AT all-terrain tires, and you'll feel free to explore even farther down the trail. Plus, the Forester Wilderness comes with a full-size spare, a rare sight these days. The Forester Wilderness makes it easy to load up for adventure with an extra-wide rear gate opening and 60-40 split fold-down rear seat. And its interior protective material stands up to wear and tear from all that gear, passengers, and pets. The Forester Wilderness is built for your boldest adventures. Find yours at Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola, online at AndersonSubaru.com.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Hi, this is Todd Thompson, President and CEO of the Greater Pensacola Chamber of Commerce. Tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel for the Chamber Connection Show that will keep you informed on what's going on with your Chamber of Commerce. Tune in this Monday morning at 10 to find out about our upcoming events, all of our different programs, and what's happening with our local business community. It's the Chamber Connection Show every other Monday at 10 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Laura and I really wanted something that was inviting. We didn't want the traditional stuffy jewelry store. We wanted it to be sort of coastal casual, sort of really inviting. A place that was fun, that people could come and enjoy and not feel like they were being pressured. And we were shocked when we were recognized as one of America's coolest stores in 2018. They said, you know, there's not a lot like this in the Southeast, much less Pensacola. And we're really proud of it. Come visit us at Beret Jewelers.
The Port of Pensacola is more than just a name. It's a powerhouse of economic opportunities, a strategic location that sparks growth and prosperity, contributing significantly to the local and regional economy with 23 incredible businesses that call this port home. Big names like C-Max Materials, GE Wind Energy, and soon the prestigious American Magic Sailing Team. Since 1754, the Port of Pensacola has been the driving force behind Northwest Florida's economic success. Explore more at portofpensacola.com.
News Radio Pensacola. your home for informative, local, and dependable news and talk. Start your mornings off with the award-winning Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay, followed by the Pensacola Expert Panel. Then get informed and laugh from 11 till 2 with Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins, followed by the Guy Benson Show. Your afternoon drive is anchored by Pensacola Right Now with Joe and Austin, followed by Dave Ramsey. It's News Radio Pensacola, heard on 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
What do you need, son?
Need to borrow your bow.
Let's drop some lead on those motherfuckers.
Light them up.
They ain't gonna sink this battleship, no way.
Verify our range to target. One ping only.
What's their range now?
200 miles, sir.
They break 150 miles, launch the alert 5 aircraft.
Yes, sir.
What are you doing? You're slowing down! You're slowing down!
I'm bringing them in closer, Merlin.
You're gonna do what?
I got a good lock. Firing.
Yes, yes, it is the Meet Your Tenant Commands segment where I try to expose you to some of the things that are going on our great local military bases, Whiting, Corey, NAS Pensacola, maybe even Hurlburt. I don't know how far we're going to expand this, but for now, mostly NAS Pensacola and Whiting and Corey and so forth, and Naval Hospital, if you remember. Now, this segment is brought to you by the Warrior Beer Company. Meet Your Tenant Commands is brought to you by Warrior Beer Company. Sorrento Road, we've got your six. And this is a little different one because it's not going to be a person talking with me like an interview, but I had a chance to go to a recent Five Flags Rotary where Brad Arthur, who Redman is the call sign, he is the commanding officer of Naval Aviation Schools Command. And we had had him on the show already, but he said some things in this presentation that I thought were particularly interesting. And so in that vein, I'm going to share this with you today, including, like, who are his people when you see them out about in the community?
So when you see most of these young ones, they either look like they're out of college or out of high school. The ones that look like they're just out of college, they're pretty much all with me. And then about half of the ones that look like they just graduated high school, they're hanging out with me too. All right.
So he gets all of them in the beginning anyway. And one of the things he addressed right from the start was the reports that the military in general, the Navy in particular, has been sort of changing standards, allowing more people in that they wouldn't previously have allowed in. And he was very careful to explain what that does and does not mean.
I would like to take a moment to tell you about this young generation. I know that you hear a lot of things in the news. I know you're hearing about how we're lowering standards. It's been talked about. Let me tell you that we're not lowering standards for qualifications. We are not doing that. How we do business now and how we have to train to meet the mark, we do have to change some things, and we have. There's a lot of things that we've had to change, but we're not lowering any standard for the qualifications. No one gets through flight school, no one gets through aircrew school, and no one gets through rescue swimmer school without meeting the standard, and that standard has not changed. Okay, so we're not putting anybody out there in the fleet that's not capable of doing the job that this profession requires.
And what he's getting at is that the end test to get you into your performance in the fleet, the standards there are not lowered. But you might have more people allowed in the front of the funnel, so to speak. And you might have to do different things along the way to help equip them to be able to pass the unchanged final standard, is what he's getting at.
This young generation, between me having this job, and then after my last operational command, I was at ROTC at Embry-Riddle, I feel confident to say that it is a challenge to train them. However, that challenge is not something that's, unheard of. It's a challenge in a way that how they are prepared and how they approach things is much different than how I was. There's a lot of, they have a questioning attitude. Some of that's very good. Some of it needs to be mentored into, you need to understand why we do things the way we do it.
Yeah, and I mean, he's acknowledging that it's more difficult to work with them because of a variety of things, including...
But what is very, very impressive from my point of view is they have it harder than I ever had it. They have it, they have a challenge of being in a culture where anything and everything you think about or say is can be immediately talked about. What they deal with on social media and whatever that does to them, they've already have that kind of baggage when they come.
In other words, we tend to think of them as having flaws, defects, problems, whatever, but understand that they deal with different problems than we ever had to deal with, and that's not always just like their fault that there's something wrong with them that they choose. They've been formed by a culture and a system and technology that didn't form us, and, you know, regardless of who you want to blame for that, that just is, and it's now the question of how do we produce outstanding, you know, naval enlisted and officers out of that raw material. We'll come back to this in just a second. We're kind of relaying clips to you from Brad Arthur. He is a commanding officer, Captain Brad Arthur, commanding officer at Naval Aviation Schools Command on board NES Pensacola. This broadcast from Milwaukee is brought to you in part by Barberry Plumbing, and John Pickens is back in Pensacola with Traffic on the Fives.
Brought to you by ECUA Bulk Waste Services. Now call for pickup. Call them by 2 p.m. the day before your service day. Learn more at ecua.fl.gov. Still no accidents on the big board right now. I'm not seeing anything that's going to hamper your way in. I-10, I-110 flowing smoothly. Also seeing some delays at Highway 90 and Avalon Boulevard heading northbound toward the downtown Milton. So just be aware of that. I'm John Pickens with your Traffic on the Fives.
Thanks so much, John. Also, because of all the problems with software and the 21,000 flights delayed and 2,000 flights canceled so far today, Pensacola International Airport, looks like the Atlanta flight on Delta 3103 has been canceled. Most of the other flights are just mild delays, if any delay at all. The Delta flight at 1020, 3198, has been delayed by about an hour, and you see problems on the outbound side as well. That connections with Delta or with Atlanta on Delta have been dramatically affected, including the 943 is just plain canceled this morning, the outbound 3103. So just kind of, you know, check in your airlines this morning because it's a mess for everybody because of the software stuff that they're dealing with. Back to Redman, Captain Arthur, who is commanding officer at Naval Aviation Schools Command, and just kind of talking about this generation. And it's extra hard, really, to get recruits out of this generation, which is not their fault. It's...
But the ones who are joining, they are the rebels of their peer group. They are the rebels of their generation. Because I, from being in the college environment, I just have a daughter just finished her freshman year from her high school experience. Joining the military is not the cool thing to do, nor is it seen on a greater scale, like when I was joining or when I was in high school. It's looked at as you're kind of a bad person for thinking about it.
So if they're taught the military is bad, if they have this perception among their peer group that the military is bad, they basically have to be rebels in order to join the military, which means you've already got fewer people thinking it's good. But that means that they're special. The ones who come out are kind of like, he called them gold later on.
I would say that this generation that joins the service at whatever capacity, they are very special, and they deserve the mentorship that we're trying to give them, because our nation's going to need it. I know the world's going to need it, in my humble opinion. But they have it harder, and I don't think that they're as prepared as certainly I felt I and my peer group was when I joined the military.
But he says, look, they are getting the job done, and he's optimistic about the future with this generation of recruits.
But they are doing it. And they're doing it. And if you just look at the news, you look at the Eisenhower strike group, they didn't just do it, they did it well. And they're doing their missions assigned. And so the people out there that think that our new generation that's coming in isn't gonna meet the challenge, I see them working hard every day doing that. And I know they're out there doing it. And that's not just me trying to be Mr. Positive or something like that. That's the truth. There are some challenges. It is different. There are some things that I couldn't fathom the way we have to do things now, but the environment's changed, and then you have to change with it. But the standards have not changed. We get them there. We just have to work at it a little bit differently.
Yeah, I mean, more active mentoring, more hands-on, more accommodating in the process, if not in the end result. And so, you know, we talked about recruitment with him. And we had Admiral Cherico on. Recruitment is under his domain. But, of course, Brad Arthur, who sees all of your, you know, your everybody who flies or air crew or rescue swimmer or drone operator comes through his doors in the very beginning. He's got a perspective on recruitment as well.
Challenges that we're having, we're meeting our goals with pilots and naval flight officers and our aerial vehicle pilots, the drone pilots. We're meeting our goals for enlisted air crewmen, but I am vastly under, I do not even come close to meeting my goal when it comes to rescue swimmers.
Of course, rescue swimmers, you might think of that as being primarily with the Coast Guard, but also with the, I'm sure with the Marines. I say that because I'm not a fact. I don't have it as a fact in my head, but obviously with the Navy, rescue swimmers are a big part of that. But he says, look, the challenge with the rescue swimmers in particular is unique.
And not only that, I have a huge DOR rate, dropout on request. I have that. It's fairly significant in the across the enlisted air crew and air crew rescue swimmers, and then we call them dry air crew, the ones that don't do rescue swimmer. We're attacking that. We're getting after that. We're starting to see an improvement.
But there was something here that I had never connected this. I didn't even know this was an issue. The problem with the swimming in particular, he said, is real, that there is a real challenge with swimming capability among the naval recruits, particularly for the swimmer rescue swimmers.
It shifted the way that we were doing the training. We used to take, if you're a rescue swimmer, that's a heck of a lot of training. We're going to do that first, and if you don't make it, then we're, okay, thanks for trying. We're going to send you out to the fleet now. You're going to do something different. If you make it, then I send you to air crew school.
And they've decided to change that process because if they can get somebody interested in it, they want to make sure to get them up to speed and get them trained so they can pass the tests.
With the product coming right now, when I mean the product from...
Like the high schools, he's talking about the human product, right, that's coming in.
Our young joining the service, the amount of physical fitness that they have compared to what our courses were developed for a long time ago when the majority of people joining had played one or two, maybe even three sports, and they grew up going to community pools. We don't have that in the nation anymore. Most people play one sport, and community pools are almost not even existent. I mean, Pensacola has two around here. You know, a lot of towns and cities don't have anything, right? So that has been a challenge for us.
They can't swim. Or if they can swim, they can't swim well, in part because the pools aren't there and the swimming training isn't taught. But also, they're not two or three sport athletes like used to be common. And so the level of physical fitness and activity of the incoming recruits is a challenge for them. And I thought, man, that, you know, I'd never thought about how that would be an issue, that Americans don't know how to swim anymore the way they used to, you know, the way it was normal for my generation.
I've shifted the way we do it now. They do all air crew, and that gives me more time to get them assimilated and more confident and better trained. And also, I have a prep course now that we hired really, we got a 4 weeks of people that all they do is train athletes. And now I'll send them to that, and I'll put them through 4 weeks of that before I class them up. And if they're still struggling, we'll send them back.
Meaning, you know, somebody might say, well, why do we have to put so much effort to get these people in physical shape? Well, who else are we going to use? What's your alternative? They're doing everything they can to keep as many of the people who are even willing to enlist in the military, in the Navy, and then to get them physically up to speed, especially in demanding occupations like the rescue swimmers, they're working against a lot of sort of cultural factors that are making it hard. But he says, I am so glad for the ones I've got.
The days of bringing someone in, you don't make it, you don't cut right when you get here, you don't make the cut, we send you somewhere else. can't afford to do that anymore. We have to invest a lot more. So that's what I mean by we've changed the way we're training, but the standards have not changed. We just take a different approach to get them to that standard. And we're putting a lot of resources to that because the ones that are joining are precious. They're gold. If they're joining the Navy, if they're joining the Marine Corps, they're joining the service, they are gold because we're not getting enough coming in.
Amen to that. So Naval Aviation Schools Command, Commanding Officer Captain Brad Redmond is his call sign, Brad Arthur, and just kind of giving you a little different perspective on what's going on with the military. And I really appreciated that because I've seen all the reports, but I didn't have this slice of it. So that was very, very useful. And again, this segment, Meet Your Tenant Command, is brought to you by Warrior Beer Company, Sorrento Road. We've got your six.
Hey, Pensacola, Gary from Warrior Beer Company, inviting you to come out and enjoy great beer, great food, great fun. Warrior Beer Company has military open mic Monday, trivia Tuesday, karaoke Wednesdays, Singo Bingo on Thursdays, and live music all weekend. We have 20 different brews and ciders. We are located just west of Blue Angel Parkway on Sorrento Road. Always remember, from freedom fighters to everyday warriors, we got your six.
756 News Radio Pensacola. John Pickens is back in Pensacola with our traffic on the fives.
If you're traveling on I-10 westbound and trying to make the on-ramp there to I-110 southbound, you're going to have an accident that just occurred. Traffic is backing up right there. Other than that, traffic is flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
If you've got a business, you've got employees. At least if it's growing, you do. And dealing with employees is great, but you also want to make sure that you don't have to frustrate yourself with the headaches of business ownership, like payroll, like human resources, like dental insurance, vision, life, disability, health, all of that stuff. And look, if me talking about that stuff is like, for you, you just gets you nervous and upset and you don't want to think about it and your eye twitches, like, I'm sorry, but that means you should do something different. And if it doesn't, if you're super happy, then great, ignore me for a second. But if there are issues, or maybe you just want to find out if there's a better way to do it, call Torgerson Causey. They're a locally owned and operated comprehensive employee benefits agency. We've been using them here at News Radio and Cat Country for about 7 years now, and they made a tremendous improvement for me and my family over what we had before. Better customer service, better answers, choices in plans that we didn't have before. All around, they're fantastic. No obligation to have them look at what you're doing. 433-9996 or check them out online at tcbenefitsgroup.com.
Just in time for the summer season, Piedmore Imports has new Volkswagens being delivered daily with cool savings on their most popular models. Drive the family size 2024 Atlas or Atlas Cross Sport with 0.9% APR for 60 months or take $3,500 in customer cash. The midsize Tiguan available now with 1.9% APR for 60 months or $2,500 in customer cash. And the sporty Taos crossover with the same 1.9% APR or $2,000 in customer cash. Plus, the four-door Jetta sedan with amazing fuel economy, performance, and style has $2,000 in customer cash or an APR rate of 2.9 for 60 months. This Volkswagen lineup will take you through summer with cooler savings than before at Piedmore Imports. They're not in Car City, so you won't pay Car City prices. Piedmore Imports, 106 New Warrington Road, Pensacola.
Special APR rate for qualifying credit through DCI. See dealer for details.
Some candidates talk about change. While they talk, Commissioner Jeff Burgosh delivers. Real change that matters to citizens. New parks, roads, and sidewalks. More beach access, a new library and fire station. Record revenues, record property values, and higher pay for first responders. Commissioner Jeff Burgosh fights hard for the people of Escambia County and will never raise your property tax rates. Jeff has proven to be a conservative, tested, and trusted Republican leader. And he's being endorsed in this race by some of the most respected Republican in our county, including Sheriff Chip Simmons, state representative.
On News Radio Pensacola, I'm Andrew McKay in Milwaukee for our final day, or I should say what we hope is our final day, with all of these flight cancellations and delays. You know, it's basically a crapshoot whether anybody's going to get on their planes today. Had a couple of flights into Pensacola already getting roughed up, Delta particularly. Other flights are a little bit delayed. For the moment, mine is holding. Bobby's had to get canceled. So, you know, we'll see what happens. Could be here for another
You're listening to News Radio 92.3 WNRP Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.